Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game starts right now with Kelly Bidlin holding down the fort at our Circus Sportsbook Studios in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Ben Wilson in for Gil next couple of days. A lot for us to talk about here in the second hour of the show. We'll get some of our college football playoff props. We have some win totals for individual teams out. We'll do that in 15 minutes. Nick Whalen from SiriusXM NBA and RotoWire joins us at the bottom of the hour to talk NBA Cup tonight, little NFL Week 15. And Kelly was just fascinated by Paul and I's, phrases did I use? Fixture congestion?
Once you drop fixture congestion near the top, I was out of it. I was like, I don't know what's going on anymore.
You're done.
That took me like 90 seconds to even figure out. I'm like, I think that probably means it's like a Wednesday, like an NBA Wednesday for me where there's a lot of games just like going on at the same time. Am I right or no? I don't even know.
It just means you're playing a crap ton of games in a short amount of time. So.
Oh, so it's like one of these 2 week stretches they have where they've got to play like in three different leagues. Okay, now I got to figure it out.
Because like, so the traditional schedule is you play one match every week, but now we've added all, you know, you've got these league cups and you've got the Champions League.
Goes all year now. So yeah.
Yeah. It basically, anyway, a guy, you talk about fixture congestion, a guy who is on, it's a show congestion. He's on a lot of shows because he's awesome. He's Will Hill, joins us on our progressive guest line right now. Will, our very longtime VSiN contributor, Should Have Bet More podcast as well. I've contributed to the Bear Bets podcast. How you like that transition, Will? I always try to be professional when I'm around you. So good to see you, buddy.
It was smooth. It was impressive, but I expect nothing less at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just trying to suck up, Will. Apparently I'm on the Megapod this week, Will. So thank you for inviting me. It's even though it's not your podcast, but I appreciate you.
Of course. I'm the sheriff. New chief in town this week.
new chief in town. Will Hill getting me on the Megapod. I appreciate it. Well, we haven't really talked MLB at all because when this stuff breaks on an NFL Sunday and when we come into the Monday, it's really all NFL recap. But the huge news with the ripple effects around baseball, Will, the Juan Soto signing, who apparently chooses the Mets over the Yankees. And these reports come out that, you know, Yankees at the 12th hour, they had a it was a 16-year offer originally, and the agencies from Scott Boras' side went back, said, hey, can you just like take off the final year, keep the price the same? And they were like, too rich for our blood, even though at that point you're talking a $760 million contract, at least for you now. And looking at the Mets, who have shorted to below the Yankees now, they're shorter than the Yankees to win the World Series next year. How real do you see this being now for a Mets team that has not been shy about spending? It's just, can they get to the finish line and actually put it all together?
Yeah, I mean, you have to think this isn't the final move, and that's maybe why Soto was sold on going to the Mets, because, I mean, there's been years of Hal Steinbrenner and the Yankees, you know, passing on the Bryce Harpers and the Machados and the Seegers and the Freddie Freemans and not being involved in Ohtani. Oh, he wanted to go west, maybe, but I think Soto, more than anything, from what it sounds like, and you're starting to see leaks of, hey, the Mets paid for the suite for Soto and his family. The Yankees weren't willing to do that. I don't know what any of this is true, but look, if he wanted to go back to the Yankees, there was enough money there. I think probably the tiebreaker for me was it was a better deal. It was a better contract. But maybe he was just sold on the fact that, hey, maybe once I sign with the Mets, they're going to keep spending. And if I sign with the Yankees, that's not going to be the case. You know, if you talk to Yankee fans, and I'm a Yankee fan, a bunch of my friends are Yankee fans, it's a lot of, you know, too much money anyway. Mets overspent. It's a lot of, you know, sour grapes, bitter ex-boyfriend kind of things. Let's face it, that's what happened. The Mets came in and they stole the Yankees' girlfriend. The Mets had been second fiddle on the field, off the field since forever. And they came in and changed that in one fell swoop. They took one of the best players in baseball in his prime and they stole him away for the Yankees. It's a devastating blow for the Yankees. It takes them off the short list of contenders. Soto and Judge covered up a lot of the Yankee flaws. And you could say, hey, they're going to reinvest that money into other players. Maybe, we'll see. I'm sure they'll get somebody, but there's no replacing Soto. It crushes the Yankees. And look, if the Mets, they're going to need some pitching because, you know, Montas and Clay Holmes, who reunites with Soto, oddly enough, that's not championship pitching right now. But there's still a lot of pitchers out there. There's Fried, there's Burns, there's Sasaki. If they get one or two of these guys and they keep adding and adding, We'll see if they bring Alonso back. You put Lindor on that team with Soto. The Mets are building a juggernaut. Now, look, they're still in a division with the Phillies, the Braves, so I wouldn't be going to rush to bet the Mets because you know, they could have a good year when 94 games, still come in second or third. They have a lot of competition in that division. I think this hurts the Yankees more than it helps the Mets, but the Mets are certainly building a juggernaut here.
So Soto already became one of my favorite players when he, right after the World Series, just brought up it's basically open for business for me. I applaud him big time for that. Do you guys think it's even deeper than that, though? Like, was he always going to stay in New York City one way or the other, and he just played all of us?
No, I think he was going to go for the most money. I mean, these guys, we could talk about motivations and you know, trying to get in these guys' heads, which I'm trying to do a little bit here. These guys usually just take the best deal, the most money. The Mets offer was more money. It was a $75 million signing bonus. The Yankee offer was less. It was more money for one fewer year. Like, it was more money. So you could sit here and say, well, the Yankees offer was still pretty good. It was respectable. It was, but it wasn't the Mets offer. So these guys usually take the most, the biggest offer. I've heard this floated out there too, that maybe, Cohen with his background in finance got into Soto's ear and said, hey, I can make you even more money, stock market, investment, things like that. So I'm going to pay you this, but I can help you make even more money. And maybe Soto, not that he needs the money, but maybe that was, something that went into it as well.
Good on him. Yeah, money's awesome.
Like, sir, yeah, if 760 is not enough for you, sir, let me tell you how I can make you even more. Would definitely be the conversation there. Will Hill with us right now on a numbers game at Not The Will Hill, where you can follow William on the Twitter machine. How about college football playoff, Will? We went through some of the opening lines from yesterday. Been minimal line movement since then. Anything you're looking at with the four games that are officially lined, and anything in the futures market for you now that the 12-team playoff is set?
Yeah, it'd be dog or pass in these first four games, I think, in all of them. I think I like Tennessee the most. I don't know if we're looking seven and a half, or shop around. I just think the matchup of Ohio State's offensive line, which is still banged up, going against Tennessee, which has Pierce, which has a couple NFL guys, maybe two or three NFL guys in that front four for Tennessee, is a bad matchup for Tennessee. Obviously, the weather in these college football playoff games is going to be a factor here as we're playing cold weather in December, late December. I just think that's a close, low-scoring game. Iamaliava started to play a little better. That Vandy game, they averaged 7.5 yards per play. And I think Herbstreit on that selection show, which took forever, I think we were 23 minutes in before we got one team announced. He actually made, I thought, a point that was really interesting, really insightful, that Ohio State, if it doesn't go well early, watch out, because they're at home, and that home field advantage, so to speak, could work against them, where, hey, they go 3-and-out early. Everyone's uptight. Everyone's on Kelly and Day. If they go 3-and-out the first couple series, that might start to get very awkward, very uncomfortable in that building, and that might start to the crowd might start to turn on Ohio State. So I think from a matchup standpoint, I think Tennessee matches up well, defensive line versus offensive line. I go back to that Indiana game with Ohio State, where I thought Indiana was live. I wasn't sold on Ohio State. I was a week early because Ohio State laid the egg a week later. I think that game got away from Indiana because they dropped a punt. They gave up a punt return touchdown. Now, Indiana couldn't really move the ball, but Ohio State didn't really run the ball, and they haven't run the ball with these offensive line injuries. So to me, that's a closer game. I like Tennessee getting the points. And again, I like either the dog or nothing at all of these games. I think Indiana getting a lot of points is live. I just think what's been the theme all year with college football? It's been parity. There's no great team. There's no dominant team. So why are we going to go out and lay a touchdown or more in any of these games? I think really all of these dogs are live. So Tennessee getting the points, Indiana getting the points. I even think that's a lot of points in Clemson versus Texas. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get a couple of upsets. I think one or two of these underdogs is going to win. And to me, there's one I'm sort of afraid of. It's Penn State versus SMU, just because I don't know if SMU can hold up just their offensive line against Penn State defensive line. They were the more dominant team, from the second quarter on, really, against Clemson in that game. So to me, I think all of these lines are a touch high, though.
Sitting 7.5 right now, Notre Dame, 8.5 Penn State, 11 in the Texas game hosting Clemson, and then there are still some 7.5s out there, Will, for Tennessee and Ohio State. Actually, 1-8 still in the market as well, as Will Hill joins us right now. As far as the National Football League for Week 15, as we turn our attention forward, anything that's jumping out to you here on the early card?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Panthers. I think you get a minus a point or so, or minus a cheap money line, taking on the Cowboys. They've played pretty well. I thought they were going to get destroyed by Philly, and there were a couple moments in that game where, hey, bounce of a ball, Philly had a chance to get margin. I thought Philly got really conservative, just kind of a strange game plan where they didn't look to put the foot on the throat of Carolina. But Young has been viable. He's been decent. The defense played a little bit better last week after not holding up in the run against Tampa a couple weeks ago. But if you just look at their last month, their last five games, I mean, they could have easily won 3, 4, 5 in a row here. They should have beaten Tampa. Chuba Hubbard fumbles in overtime and field goal range. Kansas City was a coin toss game. Last week, Leggett drops a ball that would have given him a lead with 44 seconds left. So to me, Dallas, we were all kind of rooting for Carolina. If you had nothing, just kind of rooting against the guy who bet $3 million, at least I was. And I'm rooting for Minnesota to somehow, possibly get the one seed. So once that, and you know how it is, because I laid the points with Philly. Once the team doesn't cover for you, you're like, screw them. I want them to lose the game straight up. But Carolina's been competitive here. I just think Dallas off of a short week. Overshawn is now hurt. I just think it's two teams going in different directions. So I do like Carolina on the cheap price there. And there's still some threes with Miami against the Texans. To me, just kind of two toss-up teams. When Miami has Tua and they have their guys, that's still like a top 10 team as long as the weather's okay and as long as they're playing a team that's not one of the elite teams in the league. So to me, this is a toss-up game. Miami's still playing for the chance to, hey, if we run the table, we can get in the playoffs. So I think getting three there is a lot.
That was one that Kelly and I, we discussed yesterday. I like that Dolphin side too, especially because so often we see in the NFL with handicapping. You remember what you saw last. Dolphin should have lost outright against the Jets.
Right.
See, a little sour, the general thought and perception on where Miami is at. As far as these teams too, like what team are you the most, I would say like your personal thought on is the most down on relative to the market? For me, it's clearly Houston, where I'm just not a believer in them whatsoever. Market continues to like them. Is there a team for you, Will, that you just find yourself week in and week out feeling much worse about than where the market has them at?
I would say Houston, but just to give a different answer, I can't trust a team with no kicker like Baltimore. Their pass defense is so bad, and I know like all the talent, and I know their A game is basically as good as anybody, but when you just don't have a kicker, these games are so close. You can't just a missed kick is a turnover, and they're very trustworthy in terms of Tucker and running him out there. So Baltimore for me has been a stay away these last couple weeks.
All right, well, Mark Will down Giants 8-1 on the money line this week. Lock it in there for Will Hill. Always good to see you, man. We'll catch up Thursday on the Megapod. Always a pleasure, man.
I'm sorry the Brewers fell short on Juan Soto.
Thank you for your condolences. I appreciate it. We'll come back, talk some college football playoff next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest, and that is Zyn. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
The dulcet tones of Ryan Hunter, as always, welcome us back into A Numbers Game with Kelly Bidlin. I'm Ben Wilson. We have Nick Whalen still to come in about 15 minutes. Gives us his thoughts on the NBA Cup for tonight, as well as a little NFL Week 15. Thanks to Will Hill for joining us in the last segment. And a college football playoff. We've had some time to ruminate over some very fun, more exotic markets that are now up. We, after all, Kelly, 10 days until the first of the four first-round college football playoff games, which are quite interesting. Unfortunately, there was one we were both kind of talking about, thinking this would make a lot of sense, and as you're about to tell us, the juice has really moved on it as far as the road teams' win totals for the first round. But it is nice, as always, to have so many of these different options as far as betting for the playoff, which will generate, I'm sure, a ton of action and interest around the board there.
Too early here because, like you said, we saw some of these yesterday that we really liked the numbers on and wonder if they were going to move. So, as always, numbers subject to change. What you're seeing on your VSiN screen at home. Okay, first round road wins. These are over at DraftKings. A bunch of great prop markets up there. 1.5 is where it's set at. The under -210, over +165. And while I head over there to update those,
-230, Kelly.
-230. Okay. So
this open -170, 175, I believe. And I think you and I were both kind of thinking, that seems a little bit light. I mean, we both think there's going to be a couple, teams will get scares, right? But maybe one upset happens outright. But it would surprise both of us a lot if actually, two teams actually pulled off these upsets.
Yeah, it would. And now that, it is tough with these betting odds, right? Because you talk about 170, that might have been a bet. What are we out to, 230 now?
Yeah.
That's tough. I think Will didn't necessarily, he didn't exactly say this, but I'll read into it a little bit. I think we probably, with how crazy college football season is, I think one, we should almost expect maybe a second. But man, I couldn't tell you who it is, Ben. You know what I mean? We look at this bracket, look at these opening games. Who is it? I mean, who are the two upsets? Tennessee seems to be the most common answer that we've gotten. That was the only one that I've gotten close to making is Tennessee. But man, who are you going with next? Clemson, SMU, Indiana, none of those three feel all that comfortable to me.
Yeah, probably Indiana. You know, and I think that the other part of this too, because all the games are staggered and they're in individual windows, like there's a case to be made. And even though the math, it checks out, if you wanted to bet zero road wins for first round, that is 2-1. If you combine all the money lines right now, consensus money lines, you're getting +198. So that is a fair price at zero wins. But you know, if you were to at least get bang for your buck there and you wanted to say, you wanted to say zero, you always have the ability to, because of these games, the way they are in, kind of in the different windows, you have the opportunity to, like, in-game wise, look at for maybe like an underdog price if it's kind of late game and you feel like the dog is live there, and have the potential to, maybe you get one of those and then it kind of negates the other bet you have with the zero. The risk always is, let's say it's the first game out of the shoot, right? Indiana's looking live. You're late in the game. You're seeing Indiana maybe at a 2-1 price. Like maybe they're down six with the ball in the fourth quarter. You're going, all right, let me hit that. And one of the others is going to hit. Well, you still would have three other games to sweat out. Right. So that's where, as much as I would be tempted to do that, it could get tricky really early, especially if we believe, like I would certainly handicap it as probably Tennessee most likely one, Indiana two most likely. And I realize that does corroborate with the odds, but that would be my feel for the two most likely to pull out red upsets. Indiana could kind of throw a wrench in all of this right off the top. And I'd say if I was betting one of these, the +140 on the one win, I don't know that that's an exactly one road win. I don't know if that's enough bang for your buck when you could just go across and we've already isolated the two games we feel like are most likely. Indiana, you could, obviously you could take the points. You could get +250 on the money line with Indiana. You could get +245 on the money line right now with Tennessee. So to me, better ways to bet that is as much as the under 1.5 was probably the best bet to make it open. It's moved 60 cents now. No way I would be able to endorse that at this point.
Man, great stuff there from Ben. Real quick, I think whenever you're looking at markets like this, first thing you've got to do is go do what Ben Wilson did. Basically, you added up all the money lines, threw it into a parlay. What is that number going to get you if it's zero road wins? So he's taking all the home favorites and putting those together and not coming up to 2-1, which I'm actually surprised to hear, because usually we do we sit here on this network and say the opposite, right, Ben? Is that you're seeing 2-1 in the futures market, add up all the money lines, parlay them together, what's the number that you're getting then? It's usually a little bit better than what you see in these futures markets where there's some heavier hold. So first off, that is the first thing you need to go do. And then I think you're right. I think if you are isolating, you can get it down to two that you think is most likely to have the upsets. Then you just play both money lines and you're getting, guys, I was going to say the exact number of one, you're getting around that +150 number. That's where I'd look. But you're right. I think if you can narrow it down to a couple games that you really think that's going to happen with, then you just play both money lines there and yeah, take that and move on. Right.
That to me is probably the proper way, or at least the way to kind of look at that. As a result, the other part of this too, we also have the exact to make the title game odds. You have the matchups here. The big news of the day from yesterday that came out, Kelly, was from Georgia's camp, and Carson Beck at quarterback has suffered the elbow injury in the conference title game. The timeline now is unclear. They're not sure what his availability will be. And not that I would make a bet because Carson Beck is out, because you could argue he has been a huge hindrance to what Georgia has been trying to do all season. Pretty crazy to say for a guy who is a potential number one overall draft pick entering the year. And then
a guy I have a Heisman ticket on. Yeah.
Not to say he had a season from hell, but it didn't go very well. He had three different games of 3+ picks. But at the same time, at least, we watch in the SEC title game, Gunner, his backup, well, it didn't exactly inspire you with a lot of confidence with his command of the offense. It leads me into thinking Notre Dame, it's 4-1 to make title game. And with the defense that the Irish have, you almost feel like if you're able to get by Indiana, who are a very, you know, it's a very difficult matchup, especially with the defense that Indiana has shown all season under Kurt Cignetti. But you got to figure whoever wins that game would be awfully live in the game against the two seed Georgia. As much as we all kind of just thought, all right, you pencil them in. That's the one of the long shots that is maybe unaesthetic as it is, because people think Notre Dame and they go, okay, against any real team from the SEC, they're screwed. I actually don't know. I would feel like Notre Dame would be pretty live. And some of the look ahead lines actually indicate that, where Notre Dame on these look aheads that have been posted are in kind of the pick 'em to even 2 point. I saw one look ahead that was Notre Dame -2.5 in a game that would be on a neutral field against Georgia.
Yeah, that is interesting. I was wondering about that. It felt like some of the college football, you know, bettors and guys that we know and hear and talk about these games. It felt a little odd to me that we weren't factoring in Carson Beck being out a little bit more. Or I guess before yesterday, maybe the thought was he wasn't going to miss any time and he was going to be right back. But man, you saw him go down in that game. It didn't feel like he was going to be back in a couple weeks. That's for sure. And the drop off, I mean, for a guy as highly touted as he was before the season heading into this year, you would think would be pretty significant. Like you're saying, you felt it was. I think Felica pointed out, made a good point yesterday, though, that bottom of the bracket, it still feels like that's the lighter path. And maybe you're right. It's just we were thinking Georgia before. Now you just got to shift to whoever you think is that next best team. And like you're saying, it's Notre Dame for you. I get it. I think that makes a lot of sense. Probably some value on the futures market there. And when we talk these, you know, exact matchups, maybe some value there, too, because you don't see Notre Dame pop up until what we get six down, Texas versus Notre Dame up there. It's a lot of Oregon and Georgia mixed into the top of that market.
Yeah, how about Oregon, you know, Oregon, Notre Dame, 11-1, Texas, Notre Dame, 10-1. Those would be the two I would look to target. And at DraftKings right now, Notre Dame is a 2.5-point look ahead favorite against Georgia on a neutral in the 2-7. The other I was looking at, Kelly, would be you can bet team wins. And a look ahead line has Oregon, a 1.5-point favorite over Ohio State, were they to get by Tennessee. I definitely like the under 1.5 on Ohio State, which just pulling up that updated price. Oh man, that is also jumped now -165. I believe we were seeing that -130 yesterday, yeah. But that was the one that jumped off the page at first. Again, that has been bet pretty heavily. So
I was hoping that would
not be as high, but likely for them to, you know, the no is +130 and the two team parlay for Ohio State. If you look at those, the look headline, based on, and compared to the current line against Tennessee, would be more like +175, +180. So certainly the no would have the value there.
The under, right? The under 1.5?
To not win two games. So the under 1.5. Just now you are paying a tax, -165. I want to say that was -135.
I think it was 135 yesterday when we looked. Yeah. I still like it. I still like that bet at that number, though.
I don't think Ohio State's making it. Say that. When we return, Nick Whalen, SiriusXM NBA, joined us to break down his thoughts on the NBA Cup when we return to A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your betting to the next level by playing the ponies on First Bet from Del Mar and Gulfstream Park to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness. First Bet has you covered. Sign up at firstbet.com. That is the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. As we're back on A Numbers Game, final half hour for us, and excited to go out to our progressive guest line, get in our guy, Nick Whalen. And you're about to be surrounded by Wisconsinites, Kelly.
That's
you're
right.
Adequately prepared on this Tuesday morning. I don't know if he has. I don't know. I'm not sure anybody can be prepared, but it's Nick Whalen joins us on Progressive Guest Line. Nick from SiriusXM, a fantasy channel, NBA as well. It's been awesome. I do a weekly hit with Nick over on his fantasy channel talking NFL. So great to see you, sir. And also should point out, Nick, excellent golf. Well, which is hard when you live in Wisconsin because you can only play like 4 months out of the year. But thanks for joining us, Nick. Are you also as high on the Milwaukee Bucks as Mr. Kelly Bidlin is tonight, kicking off the NBA Cup here as they are about 7-point favorites against the Magic at home?
I don't know if I'm quite as high as Kelly. You know, I was watching the show earlier today and glad to see that Kelly's on the right side of things here. But I don't know if I'm fully buying back in on this Milwaukee Bucks team. Certainly they're in a better spot than they were, you know, if you would have asked me 3 weeks ago, but have cleaned up on some of the bottom feeders in the Eastern Conference. You know, got a huge win over the Nets. this weekend. But at the same time, I think my favorite play for the NBA Cup tonight has to be the under 215.5 in that Magic Bucks game. We got two of the biggest under teams in the NBA facing off. Obviously, the Magic down both Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero. Both of these teams, they take a decent amount of threes, about league average, but Orlando gives up the fewest three-point attempts per game, guys. And that's something that we got to monitor closely anytime you're playing an under in the NBA. Orlando also the worst three-point percentage team in the NBA. So they take it a decent amount of threes, but they're shooting them at just a 31% clip. Again, they're down their top two scorers by far. Bucks about league average in pace. Orlando's down at 25th. And I think, guys, if you like the under, you got to entertain Orlando here, because I think fewer points means tighter game. I think the Magic have the better coach in this situation in Jamal Mosley. He's my coach of the year so far. So I would not be surprised if the Orlando Magic hang around. I'm staying away from the side, but I have already played the under 215.5. And I take a look at some Jalen Suggs props as well. They're going to be juiced up a little bit. He's basically their only, you know, remaining dependable offensive option, but I like the over 24.5 points plus boards tonight for Suggs. Bucks are bottom 10 in the NBA in both points and rebounds allowed to the guard position this season. Would also take a look at Suggs over 2.5 made threes. He's taking a ton of threes because he has to, and the Bucks give up a ton of 3-point attempts per game.
Yeah, I know JVT and Zach Cohen here both betting those same exact props, actually. JVT over on the PRA over, and Zach on the over made threes. It's funny you say it, Nick, because I was looking, you know, okay, you're thinking, who's going to make up the scoring deficit here? Who else is going to contribute? I kind of circled back to the same thing you brought up, though. You want to look for other Magic players. The problem is, depending on them, depending on the minutes that they're going to get, even like you said, I think Suggs is probably the best look. JVT and I were talking a little bit about that off the air this morning. I think he would be the guy to make it up. I agree. Under is probably a way I'd look if I'm looking at the total in this game. And then when we look ahead to Mavericks Thunder, I think it'd be total. It'd be looking unders as far as the totals go in both games for me tonight. Any thoughts on that one later?
No, I think you're right. I like the under in that game as well. Much higher total, of course, at 231.5. And I will say, like, 215.5 is, that's a high total for the Orlando Magic. You know, they'd probably be an even bigger under team if they didn't have so many totals sitting in like the 205, 207 range this season. And it's just, you look up and down that Magic roster, and it's like, who's scoring for this team? How are they getting to 105, 110 points in this game? But yeah, in the late game, you know, again, staying away from the sides, nothing would surprise me there. I think I would take the 4.5 with Dallas, but, you know, OKC, even without Chet Holmgren, they've still been a really good defensive team. They have the type of guards and Alex Caruso and Cason Wallace, you know, who could give trouble to guys like Kyrie and Luka Doncic. And I know we're only in year two, guys, of the NBA Cup, so we don't have a huge sample to work from, but the whole goal of this is to kind of make it feel like a playoff atmosphere, right? And what do we tend to see in NBA playoff games? You know, better defense, more focus, better coaching. You know, these teams are well rested coming into these games. They'll be prepared. So I think if you factor in, you know, kind of an uptick in intensity, especially on the defensive end, that pushes me toward unders in both of these games tonight.
Ben, personally, if we could bet on show side props, I would have lost so much money already. I'm stunned that Drew Dinsick is actually backing the Bucks, and then Nick Whalen, no, nothing from him. Absolutely nothing from
him.
Anyway,
I can't be a homer, guys. I can't be too much of a homer.
It's, you know, there's some emotional hedging going on there, Kelly. That's just kind of how it is. We can't get too over our skates there. It's, and looking at the Dallas side of it, though, just kind of for the future, Nick, and a team since they are a contender in the West, you followed them very closely. Yep. But it's a group over the last 10 games are second in offensive rating, eighth on defense, best net rating in the NBA through this 9-1 stretch. I've been playing around trying to think, is there a best futures way to bet Dallas, whether it is Luka Doncic in the MVP market, whether it's, you know, Dallas is still 8.5-1 to get the one seed. They're about plus 140 to win their division right now. Is that a team that you are also looking to find a way to invest some sort of way, since the market has not completely caught up as far as the pricing, as far as Dallas being a legit Western Conference true contender?
Yeah, I think you have to look at the Mavericks right now. And, you know, Dallas plus 550 to win the West is where I would direct my attention. You know, 10-1 to win the finals. That's, you know, match it up against Boston, the team that I likely think comes out of the Eastern Conference. You know, could be a rematch, but I think 2 years in a row that would be a matchup that favors the Boston Celtics. So I would look at Dallas plus 550 to come out of the West. And you know, obviously you got OKC sitting at the top right now. They'll only get better once they get Chet Holmgren back in the mix. But you know, the Western Conference, as usual, is much deeper than the East. But like, who else are you really, really scared of right now? It's like, I know Memphis is ahead of Dallas in the standings. It's a good Memphis team. It's still a team that I think Dallas could beat in a playoff series. You know, Houston, they're technically ahead of them right now. You know, still a young team. Maybe they make a splash. Maybe they bring in Jimmy Butler. Who knows? But I still think that's a team that I would take Dallas in a playoff series. You know, Golden State, we'll see. Kind of an aging team. I'm not really worried about the Clippers. Not worried about the Lakers. And then, like, you know, the Nuggets and the Timberwolves are the two teams that I think a lot of people thought we would be talking about in this context. And Minnesota looks lost to me, man. This is not a good basketball team. They're a team that looks like they're missing a piece. That piece might be Karl Anthony Towns, unless they make some sort of addition, which I don't think they will based on how this team has operated over the last calendar year. I don't really consider them a true contender. And you know, you can never cross off Denver, guys, with the way Jokic is playing, but that has not had the feel of a title contending team either. So if you're kind of looking beyond OKC in the Western Conference, okay, which team in that next bunch do I trust most? It would have to be the Dallas Mavericks, no question.
Yes, 10-1 there to win it all. As far as the actual NBA Cup and the games still to come, you mentioned Golden State and Houston as two teams who are kind of, you know, you don't necessarily worry about them long term, but they are facing each other tomorrow. That's the Western Conference quarterfinal matchup. And it's that weird situation, Nick, where we've already had two games between the two. Yep. Golden State has won both. They've been extremely tight. Houston laying 2.5 at home tomorrow. How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, this is another difficult one, you know, and I will mention, you know, Dallas 9-1 to win the NBA Cup, I think is actually a pretty solid bet as well. If they can get through this first game, I think they'll be in a pretty good spot. And you know, if you're giving me 2.5 with Golden State, even on the road in Houston, I think I would take that. I trust the Golden State infrastructure more than I do right now. The Houston Rockets, who at times, you know, have looked like one of the five best teams in the NBA. They'll also have these blow-up games every now and then where, you know, Ime Udoka goes wild or Alperen Şengün just kind of no-shows. Like they, you know, they still don't have that one guy that you can depend on every single night. And I think Şengün is getting close to joining that conversation, but he's not there quite yet. You know, Golden State should be healthy coming into this one. You know, Steph and Draymond have missed some time over the last couple of weeks, but they should be good to go. And keep in mind, Golden State has already beat Houston twice straight up this season without Steph Curry playing in both of those games. And one of those, they didn't have Steph or Draymond. So I know it's difficult to beat a team three times. You're always going to hear that, but I lean Golden State here with Curry and Draymond in the mix. And, you know, especially if you give me the 2.5, I'll take Golden State to cover. And why not? We'll take them to win that game straight up and set up a matchup with the Mavs in the semis.
There you go. Look, Dallas plus 155, Golden State plus 120. Have yourself a day with the underdogs there. Nick Whelan with us right now on a numbers game. I have to admit, when I first looked at the card for the NBA Cup, the first round games in the quarters, I kind of thought, man, Atlanta, they're just begging to get bet here. And they have gotten some money from 8.5-point dogs in New York down to 7. But you know, the more you dig in on these New York numbers, they've been so good. Best offensive team in the league last 10-plus games. Where are you at on Hawks and Knicks tomorrow at MSG?
Yeah, I mean, the Hawks, they're begging us to take them seriously, especially over these last couple of weeks. They banked some really impressive wins, you know, hanging in with Cleveland and Boston, you know, doing the same against Milwaukee last week. I still think this would be a Knicks spot for me. You know, I can't be going too many underdogs here, guys. I think the Knicks are playing so well offensively right now. It is heavily starting five dependent. They are the highest scoring starting five in NBA history right now. You know, just had another game last night where they put up 91 combined points from that starting five. So you worry a little bit about the bench, but I think in this spot, I trust the Knicks to take care of business. And this could be one to look over on as well. I know it's a high total at 237, but we know neither of these teams, especially Atlanta, play defense.
Not particularly, no. From 233.5 all the way up to 237. Always great to have Nick Whelan on with us, man. Be well. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, anytime, guys. Enjoy the rest of the show.
We'll come back, wrap everything up with our best bets on the other side right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
As we wrap things up on A Numbers Game, be sure to stay tuned to VSiN after we're done. Money Moves with Patrick Maher and Jeff Schwartz coming up noon Eastern, then stick around for Prop Points with John Hansen at 2 p.m., followed by Make It Rain with Adam Schein to 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. As we wrap things up, we got a lot of best bets, Kelly, from both us, our different guests today. As we go into our best bets, as always, presented by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And for me, if you missed this yesterday, I did get an early bet in here on the college football playoff for the first round games. I'm looking under 52, a number that is still available today. Clemson and Texas, with neither offense being particularly explosive. Each defense is ranked firmly inside the top 20, and especially on the Texas side, being at home, able to dictate the pace with their outstanding defense that leads the country in yards per play allowed, best pass defense as well, and their sixth in sack rate, despite not blitzing at all, that high of a ratio. So I can give me the Clemson, Texas under 52. Thinking just in general, we see a lot of underdog and unders here for this first round slate, the four games, December 20th and 21st for the college football playoff. Kelly, yeah, you've got a potpourri here.
I do. Yeah, and I like it. Chris Felica joined us yesterday. I know he had a couple unders he liked as well. It seems to be a bit of the consensus feeling on the college football playoff openers. Get that completely. As far as mine go, NFL we hit yesterday. I'll go over those real quick. Lions. I'm on the Lions this week and get a better number than I did. Actually, that applies to a couple of these bets. 2.5. I got the good total, though, Ben. I'm over 52.5. I think that's like 54.5, 55 right now.
Yeah, there you go.
Although I do get Drew brought this up earlier in the show. If you missed our guest spot with Drew Dinzik, it's getting really high. I mean, you are talking 55, these two teams having to capitalize on basically every opportunity that they get at scoring touchdowns. That's what they're asking for. But man, I think there's going to be, with the injuries on the Lions side of the ball, with the way the Bills have struggled stopping the run, I think you're going to see a pretty similar game to what we saw this past week in LA with the Bills and Rams in action. So over there, Broncos laid 4.5. You can get a better number now if you'd like. 3.5 is what that's pretty much down to against the Colts in a big time AFC playoff possible game here coming up. Packers money line. I beat the market on this one, Ben. Money line minus 126 on the Packers. Pretty crazy it is getting out to 3. And then I got two NBA bets for tonight. Did lay the 6.5 with the Bucks, and Thunder laid the 4 with the Mavericks coming into town. But that should be a great game between those two.
100%. Before we get to Drew's bets, would you consider playing back at all on that Lions Bills total? If we got 55.5, where, I mean, 31-24 does get you a middle there, Kelly. I don't know if you are middling after.
No, wouldn't play around with that. We usually would do that more with spreads, not as much with totals. And if you get 3 points on a total, not big enough, especially with a total that's high, right? That's the other part of it. These two teams, I think, could be going back and forth scoring, and you're looking for a very, very small middle window there.
Yeah, there were some look aheads that were much lighter. So, yeah, you know, you could have gotten, like, I think as low as 50.5, I saw, was the lowest look ahead. So it might be a different case if you're talking, you know, five full points there, but and maybe not enough, at least for you. As far as Drew Dinsick's best bets, who joined us earlier today, he does have action on one of the NBA Cup games for tonight. Mavericks +5 as they take on the Oklahoma City Thunder there in one of the two NBA Cup quarterfinal games tonight. Drew also on the NFL, looking at a couple early week underdogs, Colts +4.5. That has come down to 4 most of the market, with a couple 3.5s popping, and then Seahawks +3. It's been sitting there either 2.5 or 3 in favor of Green Bay. He does like the home dog Seahawks on Sunday night. Will Hill will look for the team who's likely going to close favorites, Kelly, for the first time in 34 games on Sunday, the Carolina Panthers hosting the Dallas Cowboys. And while we've been on the show, Carolina money coming in pretty staunchly, circa out to 2.5. Two other books, including DraftKings, out to Panthers -2.5. So if you like Carolina, might want to jump on that now. Will gave us a cheap money line -120. I see 1.5, the lowest in the market right now, but it looks like that is all going the Carolina direction. No way this hits 3, though, right? I mean, that's got to be the resistance point, you'd think, Kelly.
Yeah, I would think, but man, who knows?
It threw me off.
We were checking over these graphics just to see Panthers money line -120. I was like, hockey? No. NFL Panthers, got it. Yeah.
Florida Panthers? I don't know. Anyway, as far as Nick Whalen, Jalen Suggs, this has been a common play across the network, and you understand why. Jalen Suggs, who's off a 26-point outburst against Phoenix over the weekend, over 2.5 three-pointers made at -160 tonight as Orlando takes on the Milwaukee Bucks. And we got Paul Carr's Champions League action today. Atalanta, the draw, no bet, even money against Real Madrid. And then we get Borussia Dortmund, Barcelona, over 4.5 goals. That's also even money. Paul didn't mind a sprinkle either. Over 4.5 as an alt total. Over 2-1, that could be a secondary option for you as well if you're looking for a little more bang for your buck. The Juventus double chance, -120, over Man City there on Wednesday as well. As always, these top plays brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And a reminder, if you're serious about sports betting, you need the GBank Visa signature card. They treat gaming transactions as purchases, so you're typically saving up to 3 to 5% on cash advance fees. For a limited time, you'll receive a $250 bonus after you spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. That is VSiN.com/GBank as we get set to wrap up the show. I also wanted to give a shout out to our guy Primetime, who knows way too much about my high school upbringing, I would say, Kelly. But he pointed out to us that of the 50 drunkest counties in the U.S., 41 of them are from my home state of Wisconsin. So I just wanted to make sure we pointed that out.
Well, you know what? I think that's just I haven't really looked at the map yet, but that just tells me that they're more willing to admit it. That's what it says. Yeah. They're more comfortable with
five counties drinking. In Iowa, one in Minnesota, one in each Dakota, one in north and the south. So Ozaukee County.
Snows. What else are you supposed to do? Right? Come on.
A lot of short, dark days out there.
That's right. Okay, so Ben, we got Champions League going today. I feel like I learned a lot from your conversation with Paul Carr earlier. It's a slightly different when we have Ben Wilson in doing this show instead of me and Gil talking soccer with Paul Carr. If you're a big soccer guy, you could maybe understand some of that. I learned fixture congestion. I learned that today. I'm going to start dropping that all the time now. That was a good phrase.
Here's our guy Primetime, by the way, in our We Get Tweets.
There we go.
He did have a question. He did mention the fixture congestion to you, Kelly. So there you go.
Okay, great.
Anytime you need someone to explain a fixture congestion, this is what I'm saying. I don't know how this individual knows so much about my height, but I was a situational lefty on the Homestead High School baseball team, and also was in the jazz band there. So that does qualify as a situational southpaw sax playing me. Problem solved. And I'm always happy to explain fixture congestion to you, Kelly, anytime you need it.
I appreciate it. I finally got the correct pronunciation of Atalanta. Is that right?
Yep.
Am I saying Atalanta. It right? Atalanta. So I learned that today.
You found out that Estonia is a Kazakh club in the Europa
sure.
Conference.
Sure. Yeah. I missed that one, but sure. Yeah, totally. That one too. So I just want to go over this. So Paul's got his bets today in the Champions League. Nothing for the great Ben Wilson, who I know will watch these games, and if he misses them live, will go back and rewatch them on replay. But you have no action in these games today?
I've not bet anything yet. So this one starts in about 45 minutes. I'm looking at Liverpool, who did not play over the weekend, so very healthy, very rested. We're supposed to have a huge rivalry in the Merseyside Derby.
No fixture congestion for them.
Yeah, so no fixture congestion for Liverpool. The Reds, who are at the top of the Premier League table, they were supposed to have the huge match against Everton, but that was postponed because of the Storm Dara. Not tropical storm, not bomb cyclone.
I wanted to follow up on this. So is that what it would classify as, a tropical storm or something like that, if you were in the United States or in the tropics?
Well, based on the articles I was reading, I mean, it caused, like, people are still without power, hundreds, thousands of flights canceled, widespread flooding. So and the winds were over 60 miles an hour. One person did die, actually. Hundreds of thousands without power across the UK an island. So I would actually, it looks like a couple of people passed away in the storm. So I would assume, based on the wind reporting, it was kind of what we would consider a tropical storm. Yes. But as a result of that, no Liverpool match against Everton. They now take on Girona from La Liga. Girona were really a shock story last year. They at one point were leading the table, and yet they have really struggled and fallen off this year. They are ninth in La Liga. I have really struggled with their defending. They've given up 23 goals in 16 matches in La Liga play. In the Champions League so far, they are toward the bottom, 30th out of 36 in that new look Champions League format. So Liverpool today laying a goal and a half. It's expensive. It's minus 105, but that is the way I am looking there for Champions League today.
What's the money line? Like minus 800?
To win in regular time, minus 255. I mean, the draw, no bet, you're looking at minus 750. So, yeah, it's expensive. But, I mean, Liverpool, with all to play for right now, Liverpool, by the way, they also lead the table in the Champions League. A perfect 5 wins in 5 competitions.
Looking good.
We've learned a lot today, Kelly. I hope you've learned something.
I have.
We'll see you tomorrow. For Kelly Bidlin, I'm Ben Wilson. Big thanks to our crew behind the scenes at our Circus Sportsbook studios. We'll catch you tomorrow here on A Numbers Game. Stay tuned for Money Moves right after this.